It is May 5th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today we have a podcast I recorded this week with the founders of Quantitative Brokers, Christian Hoff and Robert Almgren. I really enjoyed this interview and feel like it is one of the best podcast interviews I have done. One of the questions I asked was about what QB Chairman Tom Asher brought to the company. Hoff gave a great answer, giving Asher a lot of credit for helping him and even being a presence for QB in New York during the pandemic when Hoff was stuck in Australia. However, today we have the news that QB is transitioning the chairmanship from Asher to Matt O'Hara, CEO of the Americas at 360T. QB has a great story, and Hoff and Almgren shared it with me in this podcast. They talked about the history of the firm and its future, which evidently does not include the man who provides me with the occasional shipment of Skyr from Gamel Garden Creamery. We also have our video from FIA Boca of CQG's Ryan Maroney and the most interesting man in the world, Pat Kenny. Sarah Rudolph did a nice write-up of the video as well. CQG is holding an event on Tuesday at the Series Cafe in the CBOT building to show off the CQG platform. You can RSVP for the event by sending an email to rsvp@cqg.com. CBOE Global Markets reported first quarter results, which included news of record adjusted diluted EPS for the quarter of $1.90, up 10%, and record net revenue for the quarter of $471.4 million, up 13%. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange reported its April trading results, which included news spikes futures set an open interest record. FIA Tech has earned the Great Place to Work certification for the third year in a row. 91% of the firm's employees say it is a great place to work, while the typical company says that 57% of the time. I resolved the Twitter impersonator issue yesterday after proving to Twitter that I am the real John Lothian. It was rather strange having someone who wanted to be me on Twitter. You could tell it was not me because they were trying to strike up a conversation on messaging instead of my normal torrent of news story tweets. Thank you to all those who reported the issue to me. It is appreciated. Next week, I'm headed to the CQG event on Tuesday, then the ISDA AGM cocktail party that evening. I will be staying downtown in Chicago overnight, and then will be at the Swiss Hotel for the ISDA AGM bright and early. I will be back home Wednesday night, but back Thursday for the last day of ISDA and a Boy Scout fundraiser with support from the metals industry on Thursday evening. It will be a busy few days. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's our podcast. The headline, A Discussion with the Founders of Quantitative Brokers. John Lothian, that's me, held a discussion with Christian Hoff and Robert Almgren, founders of Quantitative Brokers, about the history, development, and future of the firm. This podcast discussion includes stories about how the firm started, the problems it was trying to solve, the technology it uses, and anecdotes about use cases from customers. John, that's me, asked them about what licenses they needed to conduct the businesses. They were in a unique class at Eurex. In the U.S., they are registered as an independent introducing broker. You can listen to this podcast by going to johnlothiannews.com. We also have the video I mentioned earlier. CQG's Maroney and Kenny talk to John Lothian News about new Broadridge partnership and new products and technology. John Lothian News spoke to CQG's CEO, Ryan Maroney, and its SVP of Client Relations, Pat Kenny, at the FIA Boca Conference 2023 in Florida in March about their new partnership with Broadridge, their year-on-year growth, customer challenges, and new products, including CQG One. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from Quantitative Brokers that I kind of mentioned earlier. Thomas Asher transitions executive chair of the board of Quantitative Brokers to Matt O'Hara, CEO of America's 360T. Quantitative Brokers, QB, after 5 years of exemplary leadership as executive chair of the board of Quantitative Brokers, QB, Thomas Asher will pass on the leadership to Matt O'Hara, CEO of 360 Trading Networks, Inc., the Americas division of 360T, Deutsche Börse's foreign exchange trading venue. The transition will officially take place on June 30, 2023, as O'Hara assumes the role of executive chairman of the QB board, in addition to his primary responsibilities at 360T. My comment. With Tom Asher, the scare is the limit. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Coinbase tries novel defense in SEC fight. Crypto exchange says regulators' lawsuit threat is undermined by clearance of IPO. With the Securities and Exchange Commission preparing an enforcement action that threatens much of its business, crypto exchange Coinbase is trying a novel defense. It says regulators bear some responsibility for letting the company go public in the first place. My comment. You said we were okay to go public, so we had your blessing. What happened? All right, here's another story. This one from The Guardian. U.S. aims to tackle risk of uncontrolled race to develop AI. The White House has announced measures to address the risks of an unchecked race to develop ever more powerful artificial intelligence as the U.S. President and Vice President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris met chief executives at the forefront of the industry's rapid advances. In a statement released ahead of the meeting with the leaders of Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, the U.S. government said firms developing the technology had, quote, a fundamental responsibility to make sure their products are safe before they are deployed or made public. My comment. The real question is, how will AI be used to influence the 2024 presidential election? Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, nobody trusts the banks now. The Fed's SVB report, Goldman's SVB dealings, PacWest, Western Alliance, First Horizon, and stock buyback rules from Matt Levine. What is going on? I think there are two ways to think about the basic business of banking. Banks borrow short to lend long. They use deposits, which can be withdrawn at any time, to fund loans and buy bonds, which don't get repaid for a long time. Banks really borrow long and lend long. They use deposits to fund loans and buy bonds. And as technical legal matter, those deposits are short term and can be withdrawn at any time. But they aren't really. Most people and most businesses keep their money at a bank because it's convenient. It's where their paycheck direct deposit and bill auto pays are set up, and it would be a pain to move to a new bank. Most people do not obsessively check their interest rate on their bank accounts to find the highest one, or obsessively check the financial condition of their bank to see if it's safe. My comment. Matt Levine, Did you take all of your money out of banks before you wrote this, or do you still trust banks? Here's another story from Bloomberg. New York AG proposes landmark crypto law citing, quote, dysfunction. New York Attorney General Letitia James proposed a state law to tighten rules over cryptocurrency companies in her latest swing at an industry she claims is suffering from, quote, rampant fraud and dysfunction, unquote. Under her proposal, New York would require independent public audits of crypto exchanges and bar people from owning both brokerages and tokens to prevent conflicts of interest. In a statement Friday, James called her proposal, quote, the strongest and most comprehensive set of regulations on cryptocurrency in the nation, unquote. My comment, if crypto is going to depend on state regulation, then this type of thing is bound to happen. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was A Ship Out to Sea, a homily about the trading floor by Jeffrey Carter on Substack. Second was the 90s rom-coms, the Spice Girls and MFA, remarks before the Managed Funds Association, a speech by SEC Chair Gary Gensler. Third was a tie between London may be a great place to cash in on market volatility, a markets podcast from Bloomberg, and U.S. SEC changes its mind on officially labeling digital assets from Coinbase. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from Bloomberg, the headline. Coinbase is facing an existential risk as SEC reins in crypto. When Coinbase Global Inc. became the first U.S. crypto exchange to go public, the NASDAQ debut was seen as a sign that the freewheeling industry was joining the financial mainstream with the blessing of U.S. regulators. The materials Coinbase circulated to investors, however, flagged a major risk. The Securities and Exchange Commission could decide that some tokens traded on Coinbase's platform are securities, just like stocks or bonds, bringing all the regulations that come with it. The next story is from The Telegraph. The headline, brace yourselves, the banking crisis is just getting started. If Jamie Dimon was pondering a career change as a fortune teller, he'd be wise to stick to the day job. On the other hand, if someone of Dimon's stature could be so wrong about the banking turmoil that continues to sweep across the U.S., a cynic might ask whether he was still the right person to be running one of the world's largest financial institutions, particularly when that organization is right at the center of government-led efforts to prop up the whole system. And then finally, here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, U.S. crude sets the world's most important oil benchmark for the first time. WTI Midland helped set benchmark dated Brent on Wednesday. U.S. grade is cheaper than 40s despite better quality. U.S. oil is already having a profound impact on the world's most important oil benchmark, effectively setting the price just after its inclusion in the measure. WTI Midland, produced in the shale fields of West Texas, joined the dated Brent benchmark on Tuesday in an effort to revamp a gauge that is used to set the price of more than two-thirds of the world's crude. So far, that integration has proved successful. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.